For those of you who are visiting with us, we're very happy that you're here. We know you're probably visiting family or friends, and that this is a very pleasant time of the year for you. We hope you get back home safely. We pray that our worship together will be acceptable and will be useful to you in your spiritual growth. We're glad to have some of our own number back with us. Sister Reisinger, we're glad you're back permanently. Good. We're thankful for that. And so many others who have come our way from time to time, it's always a pleasant experience for us. Sister Zelma Green is back on all three, back on all eight, and so many others that we can't begin to call. This is the most unusual congregation I think that I've ever seen. We've got goat herders and teachers and everything imaginable, newspaper men, and it's great to have a part of your lives. I want to talk to you this morning with the view in mind of making you more aware and making you more keenly appreciative of the intimate relationship that we have together as members of the body of Jesus Christ. And I want to do this by telling you a parable and then telling you the interpretation of the parable. So I want you to hear the parable of the body. There was once a man who had a very fine body. It was strong and handsome and healthy. He took care of the body in a very unique way, giving it all of its needs, providing for it its protection and its exercise, and he ate well. And his body was one that was something to behold. And yet one of the members of that body became ill, became infected, and it became inflamed and sore and sensitive. He immediately began to favor that member of his body. He walked in such a way that the member did not have to bear any of the weight of his body. And his mind was always on that infected member. And yet, the member did not respond to this kind treatment. Eventually, he had to go and seek specialized medication for it. So he went to the doctor for a treatment and for diagnosis and further treatment. The doctor told him, you must bathe it regularly, stay off it, and apply this special ointment at regular intervals. And yet, in spite of all of this treatment, the member of the body that was infected did not respond. Finally, with much regret, this man had to amputate this particular member of the body in order to save his life. Now, hear the interpretation of this parable. The man is Jesus Christ, and the body is his church. For you are the body of Jesus Christ, and individually members of it. Christ is the head of the body. He is the Savior of the body. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And Christ loves the church and gave himself up for it. Now, no man ever hates his own flesh, but he nourishes it and cherishes it, even as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. And yet, in spite of this fact of the glorious body, the man had a member of that body that became infected and sore and inflamed. And this happens sometimes in the very best congregations. There are members of the church who become bruised because of abuse, or because of neglect they become infected. Or perhaps it's because of an infection of sin that they become inflamed and sore and sensitive. Sometimes this is private. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between him and you alone. But sometimes the offense is public. Sometimes the bruise or the infection has become widespread, like it was at Corinth. There were people there who were living in open rebellion against God. Why, it was actually noised abroad that there were people living there in a state of immorality that was unequal even among the Gentile people. Someone was living with his father's wife. Such people as this, who live in public and open rebellion against God in immorality, they crucify to themselves afresh the Son of God and put him to an open shame. And they cause the name of God to be blasphemed among the Gentiles or among the people of the world. This kind of public or private offense, or public or private infection, often affects members of the body. As fine as the body may be, these public and private offenses and irregularities often infect the members of the body. But then the member of the body that was infected was given special treatment. He was always on the mind of the body, and there was always this special care given to that particular infected member of the body. And this is as it should be, because God has so adjusted the body so that there would be no discord in the body, but that all the members might have the same care for each other. If one member suffers, they all suffer. If one member rejoices, they all rejoice. And we ought to bear, those of us who are strong, we ought to bear with the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every man please his neighbor for his good, that he may edify. Always going the second mile, if anyone smites you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you and take away your coat, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone would compel you to go with him 1 mile, go with him 2. In fact, as you would that men should do unto you, you do even so unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. And thus, as we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. But in spite of this preferential treatment that is given to the member that's infected, he doesn't seem to respond. And so a more specialized treatment is prescribed and is sought and is applied. Brethren, if any of you is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. If any man has sinned, we exhort, as Paul said to the Thessalonians, we exhort you to admonish these who have sinned. Admonish the idle. Exhort the faint-hearted. Help the weak. And be patient to all of them. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. In fact, if he sins against you 7 times in 1 day and turns and says, I repent, you must forgive him. Sometimes this treatment finds itself being extended over months. Sometimes it certainly extends more than just one occasion or 1 day. In fact, Lord, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until 7 times? And Jesus said, I do not say unto you unto seven times, but until 70 times seven. So, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. But if he doesn't hear you, take along with you two or three others, so that every word may be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. But if he won't hear you, then take it to the church. In all of these occasions, we're to pray for one another. We're to confess our sins to one another and pray for each other so that we might be healed. If this treatment of going to the infected member is successful, then Jesus says you've gained your brother. And James says, let him know that he that brings back a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. But if it is not successful, sterner action must be taken. Because do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Then finally, as a last resort, this member of the man's body was amputated. Jesus says, if they will not hear the church, or if this man will not hear the church, if he refuses to listen to the church, let him be to you as a foreigner or as a traitor. Let him be like a Gentile or a publican or tax collector. And then again, let him who has done this thing that is evil be removed from you. Cleanse out the old leaven that there may be a new lump, even as you are indeed unleavened. Drive out the wicked person from your midst. I urge you, brethren, to mark those that create dissensions among you contrary to the doctrine which you received, and avoid them. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her doings. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each one of you as your works deserve. So in this event here, in this case that in Revelation 2, we're reminded here that it is the responsibility of every individual congregation of the Lord to make the necessary healings, the necessary restorations, and if necessary, the necessary amputations, or else Christ will come and will remove his recognition of us as a congregation. Now, all of this action is done in the parable and in the application of the parable and in the action recommended by the New Testament teachings regarding this parable. All of this action is done in order, if possible, to save the member, but at all costs to save the body. And finally, all of it's to be done for the glory of God, that his name might not be blasphemed among us. We close this year as a congregation of people. No doubt there are members of this body who fall into this category of infected members. You may not be here this morning. More than likely, you're not. Those who are infected are probably, at least the majority of them, are not here this morning. They've been out of order for perhaps years. They may have become offended, or they may have been overcome by sin and by temptation and by evil, and they may have been simply overwhelmed as a result of these temptations or offenses, And they, as a result, have become inoperative. They've become out of order. They're lying, if not dormant, they're lying ill and diseased, and they are on the point of death. I know of one man in that condition right now, and I've made up my mind to see him one more time before the end of the year. Can you think of someone in this congregation that you know of who is virtually outside now the ark of safety? He's virtually lost as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. Can you think of anybody like that? Would you then, before this year ends, would you use today and tonight? And would you use tomorrow and tomorrow night to go to that person and say to him, "You are a part of us. We're members of the same body. Christ is the head over both of us. And he loves us. And he has nourished us. And we are kin because of the blood that's been shed for us. We have perhaps not given you the loving treatment that we need to have given you." Or you may say, "We've given you all the loving treatment we know how to give. We've called you. We've been interested in you. We've prayed for you. We've shown you whatever interest we might be able to show. And yet you've not responded to any of this treatment." Would you go and say to him or to her, "I don't want to end this year without one more effort being made to bring you back to the Lord. You're not any different, you might say, than all the rest of us. We're all weak. We're all in need of great amounts of mercy. But you're dying. Every year that you live, you're going to be that much nearer to the grave. Are you prepared to meet God in the judgment? Would you come back and be what you ought to be? Would you come and let us again receive you as we would receive a sore finger that's been healed or a sore foot? Would you do this? Would you go and ask that person, why not come back home?" If this severer punishment or if this severer treatment has to come to where there's this punishment in the sense of amputation, if that has to come, then we're all the loser. There's not a member of this body that the rest of us do not need. We all need each other. And yet we need each other functioning and well. We don't need anyone sick. We need them, but we don't need them sick. We need them well. I wonder if you would say to him, "The time will come, and it may come soon or late, when the church will simply have to publicly amputate you. And we don't want this to happen. But if there is a disorder that you know of, or if there's someone that you have offended, if I have wounded any soul today, dear Lord, forgive. Let's not let this year pass without being very fully aware of the intimate relationship that we have with each other as members of the body of Christ. And let's be aware of the needs of these people who, as stragglers, have fallen by the wayside. They need your help. They need it now, as much or more perhaps than they've ever needed it in their life. Would you use the rest of this year to expedite this recovery of these people who have fallen along by the wayside?" Perhaps there are some of you in the audience this morning who fall in this category. There may be those of you here today who are alienated from some other member of the body. Isn't it strange how we can naively or with unconcern go on our way and just ignore each other? Jesus says you must not do that. If you're coming to offer your gift at the altar and you remember, and there she sits on the other side of the building, you remember that she has something against you. You should not have eaten the supper today. You should have gone first to that woman and said, "I'm so sorry that there's been this between us. Please forgive me. We're members of the same body. I cannot be at odds with you. I love you and I want what's best for you. Will you let me serve you and help you? And will you then in turn help me?" Or if there's a man that you're at odds with, someone who has offended you, perhaps knowingly or unknowingly, would you go to him and say, whatever differences there may be between us, let's put them aside and let's not any longer be alienated from one another. We're members of the same body. How could a hand be at odds with another hand? How could an ear be at odds with the mouth? How could anything be at odds in the same body? Let's do whatever is necessary to restore ourselves to one another's favor. If you're here today and your offense is private or your hurt is private, then take care of it privately. But if you're here today and you're still on the outside, really, as a Christian, you've put yourself there, if you need to come back and say, I have publicly offended, I've publicly sinned, and I'm sorry. I want to start off the new year in a different way. I do not intend to carry these grudges any further. I do not intend to carry this life of sin any longer. I intend today to clear the slate because I am a member of the same body with the rest of these people here and with people all over the entire world. And as far back as Jesus Christ himself lived, I am a fellow member of the same body of people as all of these saints of God, and I want to be right with them. I don't know what you think about carrying grudges, or I don't know what you think about living in sin. I think I do. But I'm simply urging us today to take a brief inventory in a very simple way as being members of the same body. Will you not then recognize this intimate relationship that we have with each other? Be he man, woman, or child, whatever may be his or her position, you're my brother and you're my sister in Christ. You're each other's brothers and you're each other's sisters. And there is no greater nor more intimate relationship in a spiritual, philosophical, or idealistic sense, or in a real sense, than that that exists between brothers and sisters in the Lord's body, fellow members. And he's placed us there for the complementing of each other, not in competition, as one said, but as a complement to each other. So when one member suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. Let's make the concept of the body that will keep us in the way we ought to be kept with each other in our relationships, before God in purity, and with each other in the purity of our lives as we conduct ourselves toward each other every day that we live. We're members of the same body. If there be one here today who needs to respond as a member of the body, in a public or private way, whatever may be your need, don't let this year pass by without your having accomplished that task of correction, of purifying, of cleansing, of healing, of restoration. Don't let this year pass without accomplishing it. May God bless you. I love you. You love each other. Let's make sure that we show it. Let's make sure that we take whatever steps are necessary to be really and truly and genuinely a part of one another through this coming year. May God bless you. Will you come while we stand and sing?
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus.